In the grand theater of life, we all seek a comeback, a resurgence, a rekindling of our inner fire. But how do we spark that flame? Welcome to Reignite Resilience. This is not just another podcast. This is a journey, a venture into the heart of human spirit, the power of resilience, and the art of reigniting our passions.
Welcome back to part two of our two-part series on true identity and resiliency. We are so excited to have you back. In this portion of the episode, we are going to dive into how our true identity truly has an impact on resiliency and so many other areas of our lives, and how you can explore and discover your own true identity. We hope you enjoy.
Well, let's talk a little bit about identity and resilience. Like, why do we want to know what our identity is to help us be more resilient? So let's dig into that a little bit more.
Yeah, I think that all resiliency actually stems from your true identity and being grounded within that to some degree. If we look at resiliency in terms of adversity, when it comes to, let's just say, substance abuse, drug or alcohol, if it's any type of addiction that you may have, if it's to work or fitness or what have you, all of those things, and any type of adversity, all of those things stem from, in some degree, a direct connection and correlation to who you think you are and how you're showing up. One thing that pops up for me a lot, and I've heard a couple of people reference to this about themselves over the last couple of months, is when we look at our true identity, like being in alignment with what that is and who that is, who's showing up. Imposter syndrome is the thing that often comes up.
Right? Oh,
it's like,
yes,
well, I can't do that because am I really an expert in that area? Right. So then when you start to think about imposter syndrome, then when you're looking at adversity and overcoming something and you don't see yourself as being competent or confident enough to approach it, then you're not, right?
Yeah.
And so then that continues to snowball and build in terms of your ability to overcome that adversity. So when you're looking at like your true identity, I think the exercise that you do, Pam, is phenomenal. And I'd love us to dive into that here in a moment. But, you know, like truly embracing who you are. What are the things that bring you joy? I jokingly say when people ask me that, it gives me anxiety. I know exactly what I don't want to do, right? I know things that I don't want to do. Does running a marathon bring me joy? No, I'm not. I don't want to do that. I don't want to do anything that includes heights. I don't like that. Right?
Yes.
So I can tell you what I don't want.
Yes.
But I do love to have experiences. I have a sense of adventure. So I love making sure that there is some sort of sense of adventure that's always built into my life. Is it every day? No, it's not. Yeah. But it is pretty consistent in terms of having that sense of adventure in my life. My family is very important to me. If it comes down to a choice between my professional life and my girls, and if they need me, I'm dropping professional life responsibilities to be 100%. There for my children, right? There's no question in my mind. And especially if it's being there to support them or being there to create and have experiences for them, right? And so when we look at challenges, you know, if it's health, wealth, fitness, career, personal development, if you have or you're experiencing adversity in any of those areas, like I always go back and I say, well, how am I showing up in that area to begin with?
Yeah. I love that. Yeah, I do think that understanding what our identity is can help us have a better understanding of what our strengths and weaknesses are. And again, knowing what our strengths and weaknesses are can allow us to understand how we're going to emotionally show up in certain situations.
Yes.
And I think that, again, having a clear idea of this is the identity of who I truly am. Mm-hmm. And now that could change, you know, I'm this way, but man, if you put me in a stressful situation, I might be this way. I might have a different identity in that moment. But I think when we understand what our strengths and weaknesses are, it can allow us to consciously show up when we do have adversity come into our lives. So if I have something that comes into my life that's hard, AKA what I just went through with my dog, and if I truly am going to live to authenticity, which is my core value, me sharing that story with other people was to be authentic, to show people that we're still trying to navigate adversity in our lives. Absolutely. We don't have all the answers, but by showing up, the amount of people that I had reach out to me and send me cards because of what happened and thanking me for sharing the story made me realize that, okay, that's what I needed to do for other people and for myself. And so I think that's a really big one. And I love that you talked about the imposter syndrome, because I think that's a huge one. When we understand what our identity is, we truly know what it is, then we have belief in what our ability is.
Yes.
So it doesn't mean like you speak in public, I speak in public, we teach, we coach. I still show up nervous, like, oh my gosh, am I going to do a good job? But that's because I care. But I have belief in my ability to do it because it's something that I'm passionate about doing. And so having that clear identity, when I was in my marriage, not knowing who I was, I had very little self-confidence.
Right.
Because I just didn't know, I was trying to figure out who I was. So I lived in fear. I was like, I can't try that because I can fail.
Right.
And since that divorce, I have stepped away from good paying jobs to go independent and still as a single mom. And I'm like, oh my gosh, how am I? My old self never would have done that.
Right.
My new self was like, no, you're going to show up and you can do this. And so I do think that plays a huge role in our identity and our resilience.
Oh, 100%. 100%. And that's, I think when you, even if you're not facing like any type of large hurdle or obstacle in terms of resiliency, right? Like this, and still having just resilience from a sense of like just operating in everyday life, right? You may not think of big things like a disease or illness or the loss of a family friend, loved one. Yeah. Those may not be the things that you're experiencing. You may, the resiliency that you are talking about may just be getting through this year, right? Yes. Like, what does it look like for the next 12 months?
Yeah.
And so who are you when you're showing up in those spaces? And Pam, you touched on the piece, like emotionally, how are you showing up in those spaces? Yeah. Because oftentimes we don't think about it.
Yeah.
And when we find ourselves faced with overcoming some type of adversity, there's a lot of instances where we just shift into a space where we're numb to the emotion and we simply go into action. Like what needs to happen instead of allowing ourselves to truly experience and feel what we're going through so that we can have that expansion and growth on the other side of it, because that's ultimately what's going to happen if you choose. Yeah,
I love that. It's that, you know, that mindset versus the heart set. And the reason we go to the mindset is, oh, I can control that.
Yes.
The emotion, we can't really control that. So allowing ourselves to feel that is such a powerful way for us to build resilience, because it's allowing us to truly deal with it.
Exactly.
So that it doesn't mean I don't still get sad when I see pictures of copper or whatever, but it's getting easier because I've been journaling every morning, stories, you know, memories that I've had. This last weekend, we took his ashes up to his favorite camping spot, and we released some of his ashes up there. And we told him we'll be back in the spring and we'll see when we come back in the spring. That was super emotional. There's pictures of me and I have my sunglasses on, but if you like push in and see my face, you can see all the ugly cry wrinkles like on my forehead. Like, oh boy, hopefully nobody hands in on that. But I just...
That goes back. The authenticity piece is like, here it is, all of it.
There it is. I was on that rock crying.
And
but it allows us, it just allows us to just let ourselves feel that emotion. And if, you know, again, if it's authenticity, allow ourselves to authentically feel that pain that I've got going on, so that when I am going through it, I can just show up as I am. And it's like, I am sad, but it is easier every day. And I have great memories that I'll, you know, have forever. So I love that. I love it.
And Pam, on the authenticity piece, like another thing that I just out of witness and observation of this milestone that you've gone through with Copper and with the passing of Copper, like the piece before he passed, it was authenticity, I think, in terms of like you were truly transparent in terms of the relationship and how your relationship with Copper came about, And then the friendship that you and Copper developed over the years. Yeah. And so in those final days, those final hours, like that was still something that was important to you, right? Like honoring the fact that you attracted Copper into your life for a specific reason in a specific season, and you were going to continue to show up for him the way that you did from the very beginning. And you did. Like, you were able to continue to be that person, his human best friend, the entire time until his very last breath. So like, when you look at the authenticity piece, like, it's not just, and we are grateful that you're sharing the experience as you're going through it, but as you're actually living it, you're being authentic and true to yourself every step of the way.
Absolutely. I mean, if you could have seen me in the room, was surrounded by like my entire family, lying my head on the ground next to Copper as he took his last breath, like ugly crying in front of, you know, the vet and everything. And it's just like, I don't know that my old self would have done that. I probably would have been more reserved, because I was like, no, I don't want to, I don't want people to see me in this vulnerable spot. Don't want my kids to see me like this. But in that moment, I was like, no, this is who I am. You know, if you don't like my ugly cry, then I don't, you don't need to be in my world.
Well, then you're not my people.
You're not my people, which leads us to, with our identity, when we show up as who we are, we're going to attract the right people into our world. Like you talked about your tribe and how authentic those people are.
Yeah.
And I think that what that does is it builds this network of support. And it's hard, because I know for me, for years, I was very guarded. It's like, how do I know? Can I trust this person? Can I share? And I will tell you, I have had friends over the years who I have shared deep personal stuff with, and they've used it against me. And in that moment, and it stinks. But we can't go to that place where, like, fine, walls are up. I'm never.
They ruined it for everyone. I'm not sharing.
They ruined it for everyone.
Right? You can't do that. Do not do that.
No, and that is such a sad place to come from. So it's like, I'm not going to do it. That just wasn't a person that was supposed to be in my world. And so now I feel like I've got this network of amazing, authentic friends that when I go through stuff, same with my family, it's, you know, these are, this is my tribe. And I just feel so blessed to have such a huge network. And again, this is why a lot of why we decided to do this podcast is because not everybody has that. And so you guys know everything about us. So
you can reach
out and be authentic with us, because the whole world knows about our authenticity and what we're going through. I think that's a really important one.
It is. It's a big one. It's a big one. And, you know, if you're listening and you really haven't sat with yourself to dive into like your true identity and who you are, and if it's who you want it to be, right? Like, are you showing up as a person that's showing up today because that's the expectation of you, that someone else has set this guideline on you? Or is it something that you truly set for yourself? Because there's a couple of things, a couple of challenges that I think folks will run into when they go down this path of identifying their true identity. One that you just recently touched on, Pam, is the vulnerability piece of it, right? Like, if you show up as your true self and someone doesn't like it, like, how is that going to go over, right? Like, how does that feel? Or you may go against the grain in certain areas. You may ruffle other people's feathers, but if it's true and fulfilling to who you are, then that's what you need to do, right? Like, that's what we would invite you to do, is truly being authentic in how you're showing up. And again, in the fabulous words of Claire Capano, it's not perfection, it's progress. So Pam and I shared, I went from a 75, 95. I don't know how long it's going to take me to get from 95 to 97. I don't know if I will ever achieve 100%, because I do still have that, the reservation of people thinking, well, she's a jackhole. Why does she think
that? Okay, that's a new word, jackhole. I like that. I might use that. I can think I'm going to steal it.
You know, like, that's the thing. It's like, well, I still have that in the back of my mind, right? And people are going to do things that don't align with who you are, but it's so much easier to process and absorb that when you're wholeheartedly standing firm in truly who you are. The other piece of that, I think, is not having clarity. And so, you know, I shared when I was at that 75%, it was because I didn't know. Like, I never stopped, I never paused to think, well, what do I want in life? What do I want this life to be? This is your life. That is one thing that I know that I instilled in both of my girls. And oftentimes they'll call me and they're like, hey, well, what should I do in this? And I always stop them and I'm like, if you want me to tell you what to do, I'm not going to do that. If you would like me to process through it with you, I'd be happy to do that, right? Because this is their life, their journey. I don't ever want them to feel that I have put my own expectations on who they need to be and how they show up. Yeah. Sometimes they get frustrated because they want me to just give them an answer and I won't. But this is truly their journey. The same is true for all of you. Like, this is your journey. What do you want this life to look like? We only have one at bat, right? So let's figure it out. How are we showing up? How are we impacting other people? How are we, you know, creating those fabulous lasting memories and what do they feel like? So those are the two things I would, you know, just narrow that in and look at.
Yeah. And I love that. And when you talked about, you know, sometimes you're going to be authentic self and there's going to be people that will judge you.
Yeah.
We see this so much right now with social media when there are people that go on social media and try to share their story and be authentic. And then you will see some of the cruel, hateful comments.
Yes.
Those are not your people.
No.
Just delete and ignore. And what I have found is oftentimes those people that are spewing that hate and judgment, it's because they don't know who they are.
Exactly.
And so all they know how to do is attack other people that are showing up and being authentic. Mm-hmm. And I love that. And I think it was Brené Brown who read The Man in the Arena by, was it Theodore Roosevelt? Do you know that one?
I don't. No. Okay. Tell us.
I don't have it in front of me, but it is one of the most beautiful speeches. It's called The Man in the Arena. It was a speech by Theodore Roosevelt. And basically he said, I don't even want to say it because I mean, it is so powerful.
We'll get it out. We'll put it in the show notes and maybe we'll record it.
Yes, yeah, we do need to because it is... When I listened to it, actually, it was that year that we had it printed out and framed for all the leadership team at our company because it is such a powerful speech. And it's basically like, I don't have any interest in listening to the people sitting in the stands. So unless you're in the arena with me, bloodied and marred, then you can just basically shut up.
I don't hear it. Yes,
exactly. And so when you are showing up authentic and being who you are, and it's scary, you are going to have those people that are going to sit in the stands and judge you. But you know what? Don't listen to them because they're not down here doing what we're doing.
Exactly.
And so we just put them away. I think also one of the important things to know is that when you know what your identity is, which is partly knowing what your core values are, it allows you to set boundaries. 100%. And I think that's such a huge one when we think about burnout. And I think we're going to do a whole episode on burnout because that's a big one that we see not only in our industry, but everywhere, across the board. Yes. But I think that knowing and understanding what our identity is can help us set those boundaries for what we're saying yes to and what we're saying no to. Mm-hmm. And so for me, it's always that filter. You know, Clara Capanna's was, does this make business sense? And if I say yes to this, what am I saying no to?
Yes.
For this, it's if what is this and how is it in alignment with my core values? And if it's not, then I'm going to say no to it.
I'm saying no.
So I think that's a really good one.
100%.
I love it. Okay. So we've talked about identity. We've talked about resilience. So if we have listeners that are on here and they're like, how do I know what my identity is? Like, what are some things that people can do to figure out what their identity is?
Yeah, that's a great question. I can just share from my own personal experience what that journey has looked like. A lot of personal reflection. And that personal reflection typically takes place during, while setting the next milestone that I'm setting for myself in life, right?
Yeah.
And in terms of the personal reflection itself, it is, you mentioned that you write this out. I think you write yours daily. I don't write mine daily.
I do.
But like just reflecting, you know, on when I'm doing my morning routine, it's a reflection on who am I when I'm showing up in this next chapter of life? What does that look like? You know, in terms of like personality, in terms of what it feels like emotionally and energetically, like that's a big piece, right? Because typically when we're setting goals, they're goals that are going to stretch us out of our comfort zone or goals that are going to stretch us to some degree. Yeah. And so that with that comes a lot of fear and reservation on how you're going to get there. But when you get to the other side, what is that feeling that I would like to experience? The other piece of it is who are the people that I wanted to have in my life, right? When I'm looking at my identity, because I know that I am evolving and growing, I know that the people that are going to appreciate it and continue to align it may look different. And so that's a hard truth to come to grips with, is that people that you love and that are close to you, you may outgrow them.
Yes.
In your evolution.
That's hard.
And that is hard. And so being able to have grace with yourself when you know that you've outgrown those friendships or relationships or what have you, or even like what you shared, it may be the career that you're in, right? Like you may have outgrown the career that you are in, the relationships that you have, the community that you're a part of, right? You may decide, this is it. I need to move to a different part of the country, a different part of the world, because I want to accomplish X. And this is the person that shows up as a result of that. When you know that you've dialed in on who that person is, that identity for that next evolution of yourself, you'll feel it.
Yeah.
It will feel light. It will feel gratifying. Yeah. It will feel fulfilling. You'll not have resistance or reservation about it, because this is truly someone that you are aspiring to become. And you have complete control of that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love that. And when you said you will feel light, it is so true. When we don't show up as the person that we are, our true identity, you're draining your energy because you're working so hard to show up as something you're not. So for me, very much the same. It's, you know, a lot of that self-reflection. It's, you know, what are my values? What are my beliefs? Like, what do I believe in? What am I passionate about? You know, what are my interests? And I think a lot of us, I was like, I don't even know what I'm passionate about. I don't know what my interests are, because my interest had to be somebody else's interest because of the situation I was in. How I emotionally show up for things is also a way that we can kind of identify what our identity is. And then doing that self-exploration. And I know you do this, spending time by ourselves, whether it's in nature, whether it's through meditation, whether it's through journaling, whatever that is, that's a really powerful way to start to identify, like, who am I? Like, who am I? And a lot of us don't slow down long enough to figure that out.
Yes.
And because, and I'm guilty. I was guilty of this. I'm much better now. If I sat down and wasn't doing anything, I was like, I should be working. I had this internal dialogue. Like, you shouldn't be sitting here. You have laundry to do. You should be cooking dinner. You should be doing this and blah.
Yes.
And
here's the reality. It will be there.
It'll still be there. When you're done, it'll still be there. But I have so much stuff to do. It's still going to be there. And so that slowing down and journaling about what your thoughts are, really being mindful about, you know, what if I look at my entire life, when was I the most happiest? You know, what were the things that I did? And for me, it's when I finish teaching a class or I finish a coaching call or I successfully help a client buy or sell a house. It's the helping other people that just like fills my bucket. Like it gives me, it literally is like a shot of adrenaline.
Agreed.
When that happens. Yes. And so that's where my identity has come from. So I think that self-reflection, and then seek feedback, you know, ask the people that you trust and are closest to you, who am I?
Yes.
I have an idea of who I am, but like you tell me who I am.
Yes. Yes.
I think that's a big one. You gotta.
I love it. Well, and it's every area, right? Like when you look for that, you seek that feedback, and even when you're doing the personal reflection, when you say like, "Who am I?" You guys, like, it is absolutely like not only like what's your personality, how do you dress, what are you driving, where do you live, like where are you going on a daily basis? Do you go to work every day or do you work from home? Like truly looking at that, those pieces of it, like who are you, like who, those external qualifiers that people often see. In addition to, like, I want to make sure that my life is filled with so much love and magic that it is like overwhelming and ripples through every community that I'm a part of. That's like a big piece for me, right? Like, I feel that if I can continue to feed that out into the world, that's huge. And that whatever respect I'm showing up, however I'm showing up with that, that it's going to be beneficial to the people around you. I do want to do one disclaimer though, because you can do the personal reflection piece. And we said, you know, sometimes you may find that people are no longer part of your life. This is in no way, shape, or form an okay or a green light to just go and clean house on who's in your life. Get grounded in who you are first.
Yes.
And naturally and organically that tends to happen.
Yes, right? It does. And it does on its own. You don't pick up the phone and say, no. Hey, I'm just self-reflecting and you're out. Like, you're not part of my world anymore. You didn't make the cut. You didn't make the cut. You're off the team. Please don't do that. Please don't do that. We're going to get all sorts of hate mail if you all do that.
Absolutely. And this is about you, right? Like, you, 100%. The listener. This is, and every one of our episodes is always about you, the listener. Yeah. And we may start to think, oh, well, so-and-so definitely needs to listen to this. That's great. Let so-and-so go on that journey by their own, on their own. This is always about us. This is our own personal journey. So just make it about yourself.
Yeah. And I think the last thing I want to say about this is stay open to change.
Yes.
Because like we said, Natalie is a different person raising Liz than she was with Karen.
Yeah.
Guess what? Kids, Liz, Karen, Dylan, Noelle, everybody that's in my
life. Don't forget Gwen.
Lucas, my grandson.
I was going to say Chris. Don't forget them all.
Chris. Yes. Next year, I may be a different person. I may be a totally different identity. So
yes,
be open to change.
Yeah.
Just because you are who you are in this moment doesn't mean that next year you're not going to be somebody different. I guarantee you, I mean, by the end of this year, we'll have been doing this podcast for 6 months. We're going to be different at the end of 6 months than we were when we started this. And next year, we're going to even be more different.
Agreed.
Because of the things that we're talking about, the things that we're learning about each other, the things that we're going through in our world. So be okay to adapt and change. And because, you know, that's the fun part of
it's fun.
The journey.
Yes.
Yes, absolutely.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I can confirm anyone that's in my circle, just know next year I will be different. And I mean,
and hopefully y'all make the cut.
Exactly.
Just kidding.
May the force be with you. I don't know. Whatever goes with that.
Oh my gosh. I love it. Well,
oh my gosh.
So is this what you had hoped out of this episode?
And more than. Absolutely. Good. And I guess specifically it goes to my daughter. So Karen, thank
you. Here you go, Karen.
For calling this is me for out. You. But here's the thing. This is the reality in terms of this podcast. It's real. It's living. A lot of the topics that we talk about are as a result of conversations that Pam and I had with other individuals. And I know I jokingly say, like, Karen called me out, but I am grateful for the fact that I have people in my life that will call me out on that.
Yeah.
And not that I want to go through delusional. I was totally a different mom in raising my second child than I was in raising my first because while raising my first, I didn't do any personal development work. I didn't know who I was and nor was I aligned with my own true identity. And honestly, with my second child, I was on that journey, right? And I was continuing to work on it and discover that. And so now that they're both adults and they see me and they're like, who are you? Like, what is happening? So they see it, right? So this is, I'm not delusional. I understand that it was transitional, but it's not until you give yourself those moments to pause and say, oh, I am significantly different than I was 15 years ago, 20 years
100%.
Ago. 100%. Yeah.
I love it. Well, hopefully everybody got as much as we did out of this. And if it meant something to you and you found it powerful, please share it on your social media. Get it out there. The bigger the community, the more people we reach. And so if you have your personal stories to share, please share it with us at info@reignitresilience.com.
Yep.
Okay. Perfect.
Yes.
And join our Facebook page as well and comment and share stories. And we're on this journey with you and we're super excited. And who knows who will show up as next week.
Exactly. I mean, you guys will actually get to watch us transform over time.
Exactly. Hey, you guys are different.
Exactly.
I think one episode we might have two guests on that actually are like our doubles and they actually talk for us and we'll have different voices. And we can just say, you know what, Natalie, I feel like you've changed.
I have changed.
That might be on, if we have an episode air on April 1st, you'll know what we just did.
It's not us. Exactly.
Not us. We've not changed.
We'll do our own rendition of Changing Places or whatever the movie is.
And
again, places. Full disclaimer, I have no reference to pop culture, by the way. So I hope that these are the right things. I don't know what I'm saying. I don't know.
It'll be fine. Somebody will correct us on social media.
So thank you. Yes.
All right. Well, until next time, everybody, thank you. Thank you. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for joining us. We will see you soon. Thank you for joining us on today's episode of Reignite Resilience. We hope that you had amazing ahas and takeaways. Remember to subscribe on your favorite streaming platform, like it and download the upcoming episodes. And if you know anyone in your life that is looking to continue to ignite their resilience, share it with them. We look forward to seeing you on our future episodes. And until then, continue to reignite that fire within your hearts.